ask for your prayers this morning. The Lord would bless our gathering together and our study of His Word. I'd like to begin in the book of Revelation, the 5th chapter. Burden this morning is, worthy is the Lamb. We sang the song, Lord, You are worthy. And I trust this morning that we feel that very vividly in our hearts. Lord, You're worthy. You're worthy of my all, of everything that I can give unto the Lord is worthy of it. The 5th chapter of Revelation. I saw on the right hand of him that sat on the throne a book written within and on the backside sealed with 7 seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the book and to loose the seals thereof? And no man in heaven, nor in earth, neither under the earth, was able to open the book, neither to look thereon. Now my understanding of what John was beholding here in the language of the book of Revelation, that this book that he saw that was bound, that was closed, that was not accessible, represented in essence the plan of God to his children throughout time and the history of God's working with his people that was yet to be unfurled, all contained within a plan, within a book that no man could open. It was sealed. There was no man in heaven and earth, under the earth, that was able to open the book. And I wept much because no man was found worthy to open and to read the book, neither to look thereon. There's something important in this book. There's something vital to mankind. Realize the urgency and the need of being able to access what's contained in it. But who's able and who's worthy? Who is up to the task and up to the challenge? Who can be accounted worthy for this task? There's no man that's able. There's no man that's worthy, that's capable in heaven, in earth, under the earth. You know, there are some people that are very exalted in this world. They're placed on very high pedestals as very important people. There are kings and dictators and rulers that are to be held and expected to be held as supreme in the eyes of their people. Think of the ruler of North Korea as one of several examples. Is to be held in esteem not only as an important man, but as a deity itself. To be held in worship and honor and reverence. But I'm going to tell you, that man can do nothing to open the seals of this book of God's plan for mankind that reaches and goes where no man can go. There's no one that's able to open and make this accessible. The work of man is not able to accomplish for ourselves what God's plan was designed to accomplish. And John recognized and he saw that. The tragedy of it, it seemed to him, there's no one able. It's there. No one's able to access and open it up to mankind. But one of the elders said unto me, Weep not. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, hath prevailed to open the book and to loose the 7 seals thereof. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the 4 beasts and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God sent forth into all the earth. And he came and took the book out of the right hand of him that sat on the throne. When he had taken the book, the 4 beasts and 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, having every one of them harps and golden vials full of odors, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sung a new song, saying, Thou art worthy to take the book and to open the seals thereof. For thou wast slain, and thou hast redeemed us to God by thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us unto our God kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Behold, I heard the voice of many angels round about the throne and the beasts and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands. What a scene that'll be one of these days. The folks, if we'll live in a way by God's grace to be ready, to be, as Jesus said, accounted worthy to escape all these things that are coming on the earth, we'll be somehow, not by our merit, not by our worth, but counted worthy to be part of that number. To be gathered into the midst of that cloud of witnesses that no man can number. I'm going to tell you, it exceeds 144,000, which was a representative number of a number that no man could number. It's not an American church. It's not a church of India, it's not a European church, it is a church of every blood-washed one across the face of this earth and throughout time. And there was something in common that they were singing, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all them, all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Worthy is the Lamb." I want the Lord to impress upon our hearts in a renewed way that he is ever so worthy of adoration, of worship, of praise, of our devotion and consecration of ourselves unto him. We began here with a glimpse behind the veil that John saw, and around the throne where there were so many that were singing, "Worthy is the Lamb." But I want our lives to sing that as well. 1 Chronicles. Let's go to the other end. 1 Chronicles, the 16th chapter. (clears throat) 16 and 28 says, "Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." We're called and have the privilege of being able to come before the throne of God and into his very presence by the atonement that Jesus Christ made. How is it that we come before him? It says, "Give unto the Lord." Give unto him glory and strength. The Lord certainly is not waiting for our strength to have strength. It's not that we're giving him strength that he lacks. But recognize how mighty and how powerful he is. Ascribe unto him the strength. Realize and recognize the strength that he has. You know, it's one thing for us to talk about it, for us to intellectually acknowledge that he is a powerful God. But it's another thing for us to recognize it because we see it working in our lives. And to give the Lord the glory and the honor and the strength. The Lord, I know I couldn't have done that without your strength. Lord, I couldn't be a saint of God just because I was born into a certain family. I couldn't live a saved life, not a day. If our picture of being saved and living for the Lord is a decision that we made way back somewhere in the past, it's so much more than that. Lord, what you desire for us, to worship you in the beauty of holiness, is so far out of reach of mankind in our strength, in our ability, and in our works. that I can't live a day pleasing to the Lord without His strength and grace to be able to do it. Bring an offering when you come before the Lord. We understand today that that offering is not that of bulls and goats, but it is the fruit of our lips giving praise unto our God, because He is worthy. He said in Isaiah the 42nd chapter of His glory, glory that surpasses anything. Oh, and mankind has gotten just glimpses of it. Remember just the residual glory that shone from Moses when Moses went into the presence of God. And the residual glory that just glowed from Moses, that was so bright that the people couldn't look on him. He had to put a veil over his face to obscure it because they couldn't handle that. Well, there's so much that could tie in and think about. Paul said to the Corinthians that we now with open face can behold as in a glass the glory of the Lord. Do we recognize that glory? What it is? They weren't able to steadfastly look on it. Weren't able to behold it. Times when people have seen even angels. You notice what the response generally is? Fear. Or to fall on their face. Even John, who leaned on Jesus' bosom in the Isle of Patmos when Jesus came in His glorified form and revealed Himself to John, he fell at His feet as it were dead. So great was the glory of God. And He said in the 42nd chapter of Isaiah, in the 8th verse, I am the Lord, that is My name. And My glory will I not give to another, neither My praise to graven images. The glory of the Lord, He said, He will not share. He is a jealous God. He won't give His glory unto another, nor should we in our lives give glory to ourselves or to another. And I'd like for us now to consider the examples of a couple lives. Consider how it is that we, who it is that we show glory unto. Book of Daniel, 4th chapter. Daniel 4, and beginning in the 28th verse, all this came upon King Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. Now think about the story of Nebuchadnezzar. Won't rehearse at all, but you no doubt remember it. Nebuchadnezzar is a man of a pagan belief system. What he believed and how he identified and it's what he lived. But he saw something different in these people that he brought up captive into Babylonian captivity. He saw something in them that his magicians and his astrologers could not show. And he acknowledged the God of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He acknowledged it. The time came whenever later years he had an image erected, commanded everyone to bow down before it. And he saw what happened in that fiery furnace. And he acknowledged the God of these men. Yes. Well, he had a vision as well. And in this vision, the Lord tried to warn him of something. Of a man that was exalted to the heavens and then was cut down. But 12 months later, how easy is it for us to forget? Forget the things that we've heard, the things that we've seen, the things the Lord Himself has come and revealed to us by dream, by message, through Scripture or whatever, and how easy it is for us to get back into the routine of life and forget the very thing that we've seen. 12 months later, this same Nebuchadnezzar said, is not this great Babylon that I have built for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty? While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. And they shall make thee eat grass as oxen, and 7 times or years shall pass over thee, until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men, and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar. Just as the Lord said, so it happened. Verse 34, and at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, now from the voice of Nebuchadnezzar himself, 7 years later, lifted up my eyes unto heaven, and my understanding returned unto me, and I blessed the Most High, and I praised and honored him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation. All the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing, and he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth. And none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. I was established in the kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol and honor not this king, but the king of heaven, all whose works are truth and ways judgment, and those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. What a turnaround. What a difference of mindset of this king who 7 years prior had been walking in vanity, but you know, it's not something so uncommon what he was doing to what happens so commonly in our world today. The people fail to look up, recognize and acknowledge the one from whom any of our intelligence, ability, strength, skills comes. Lord, help us to live in such a way that we exalt and honor and give glory unto God, not unto ourselves. Remember in the book of Acts, the 12th chapter, there was another man that was thought highly of. Acts 12 in the 21st verse. And upon a certain set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And boy, it was a good one. It was a doozy. Those are my words, not King James. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a god and not of a man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him because he gave not God the glory. And he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. Now how much glory is there to you? You realize now how frail you are, how foolish it is for man to take any kind of pride and honor unto ourselves. The Lord said, I will not give my glory unto another. And no, the Lord doesn't go and strike down every person that's living in a vain show in this world. Everyone taking honor and glory unto himself. If he did, I fear that Washington, D.C. would be nearly emptied. How many are there today that are willing to give the honor and the glory unto God? Something similar happened to a man of a different spirit. Acts the 14th chapter. 14th chapter in the 12th verse. No, start with the 11th. When the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, the gods are come down to us in the likeness of men. And they called us Barnabas, called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought oxen and garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people. There's a decision point here that's really telling of what's in the heart. There are many people who would have glowed at this. But not this man. When the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of it, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out and saying, "Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein." They didn't point the finger back to themselves. They didn't accept the glory and the honor and the recognition and the praise of men. They deflected and turned it right back to the Lord. And you know, our lives should do the same thing. I think of John the Baptist when he was ministering and the Lord used him in a mighty way. But the time came that the one that he was foretelling of came now onto the scene. And John faded into the background. And people came to him and they began asking him things like, "Well, what about this? Many people are going after this man." And John said, "He must increase and I must decrease." He didn't take it as a slight or as an offense or an empire or something that I'm trying to build and gain a following after me. There has been so much confusion and hurt and destruction caused in churches and in churches with Church of God over the door because of people that have become lifted up in their own name. They want to be recognized as somebody important, as somebody special. They want the ministry to be able to be exalted as the top of a hierarchy. That's not what the scriptures teach of the ministry of the Church of God. That we are to be servants, the least of all. That we aren't to be exalted and held up on a pedestal. Beware and take note. If you find a gathering of people, gathering and following after a man, you better take heed to that and steer clear. This isn't about following after a man. It's not about how charismatic somebody is. It's not a cult of personality that someone can gather people after themselves. We had better always be lifting up Jesus Christ and Him crucified among us. Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians 1, and beginning in the 15th verse, it says, "Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, which is the beginning." Who is the beginning? "The firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence." In everything that we do, in everything that we plan, Christ should and must have the preeminence among us. That it not be about man. I believe that the Lord calls and places members in the body. It's very scriptural. The Lord places some prophets and apostles and pastors and teachers. We all are brethren. And He is the head, and He is the one that is to be held in preeminence. Wasn't it Diotrephes, I think, that Paul said he loveth to have the preeminence. He just loves to be the one that's the center of attention. He loves to be the one that's exalted, the one that everybody looks to as someone important. Lord, help us so that not be in any of our hearts, but that in all things He might have the preeminence. Oh, so often that I travel and I see it, especially overseas, that the minister, the deacon, they're distinguished in a very clear and a very visible way. The pastor has the best parking spot reserved for him. wears clothing that is beyond what anybody else in the congregation would or could wear. Sits in a place that is front and center of attention. Wants everyone to shake his hand and to give something in that hand. Folks, we are worthy. We are worthy of nothing. He is the one that is worthy. Worthy is the Lamb. May the Lord help us that all of our efforts and all of our energy would not be to bring glory to ourselves, but to point right back to Him. 17th chapter of Luke. Luke chapter 17 and it says in the 7th verse, "Which of you, having a servant plowing or feeding cattle, will say unto him by and by when he's come from the field, go and sit down to meat? Will not rather say unto him, make ready, wherewith I may sup, and gird thyself, and serve me, till I have eaten and drunken, and afterward thou shalt eat and drink?" That was the expectation of the servants. That was their position. That was their duty, their responsibility, that they were to serve and attend unto the master in the household. Doth he thank that servant because he did the things which were commanded him? I trow not. So likewise ye, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, look at us. No. Say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. It's unto Him that the glory and the honor and the thanks is due. Scripture says, only by pride cometh contention. You know, there are many contentions in families, in congregations, that stems from something inside the heart of a person that wants to be recognized, that wants to be treated in a certain way and held in esteem. And whenever I have that mindset or that view of myself, it's so easy for my feelings to get hurt. Whenever I look and I think, you know what, they didn't. I mowed the grass at the chapel and nobody even thanked me. Nobody even said it looks. I spent time on that. I made sure that I did an extra good job. Nobody even noticed. Lord, help us to have the mindset that says, I did this unto you. And Lord, you're the one that's due any glory and recognition and honor. If I stand up and testify and nobody afterwards really says anything or really, oh, that was such a good testimony, that's all right. Lord, I'm not doing it for recognition. And Paul said, we don't preaching as unto pleasing men. That's not why I'm doing what I'm doing. Lord, I want to please you. I want to give honor and glory unto you. If I'm doing what I'm doing anyway, to be seen of men and to be recognized, for them to think of a certain thing about me or to have a certain idea or image of me, I've gotten the entirely wrong motivation behind what I'm doing. And that'll be as Jesus taught. That'll be the extent of the honor that you get, is the honor that you get from man. And that's really not very much. Oh, how much greater it is to be like the one who says, I'm just an unprofitable servant. I'm just doing that which is my duty to do. And I deflect and point everything back to Almighty God. I say to everyone among you, let no man think more highly of himself than he ought to think. How highly ought we to think? Oh, the enemy would like to either crush us into self-pity and despair, which can have an element of pride with it too. Or he'd like to exalt us to such a thing that I think of myself so highly. You know, when we have a proper view of who God is, when He has the preeminence in my life, in my thoughts, in my heart, it really helps bring things into the proper perspective. Without you, without him, I can do nothing. I am nothing. But through Christ, I can do all things. What a difference he makes. Lord, help us to let our light shine in such a way that it doesn't cause people to give glory unto us, but that they may glorify your Father which is in heaven, as Jesus said. You can see in Revelation, the 22nd chapter, that even the angel refused obeisance unto him. There is a glory and an honor and a worship and an adoration that is due to God alone. And I believe there's a carefulness to be had. This is something that is common teaching among Church of God. But it's not so common in the church world. I had a discussion with a brother just recently about it in another country. You know, the scripture says reverend is his name. Not reverend is the pastor's name. Reverend is the evangelist's name. That's his name. And there is a level of reverence and honor and glory that is only befitting to God himself. We can get into the hierarchy of this thing where people be called reverend and then right reverend and most reverend and all. No. That's due unto God alone. Oh, I believe the warning was given to the ones at Thessalonica that there would be one who would come that would put himself in the place of Christ himself. We see it by one who is appointed the Pontifex, the Most Holy One. And these kind of titles are given to a man that sits over in the Vatican. Folks, these things ought never once to be named among mortal man. I remember listening to a proceeding in a church service that shook me, troubled me deeply. There were things said like, God in the flesh is among us here today. They quoted a song, there is a name I love to hear. The sweetest name on earth. And they went on to say, and that name today is our chief apostle, and gave his name. And I had to wonder, Lord, is lightning going to strike at any moment? But it didn't. And it went on, and this individual rose, not in the manner of Paul, to say, what are you doing? No, I'm a man like you are. But rather to say how appropriate it was that people recognize his rightful position. He said that his was a name above every name in this earth. I'd like to look Psalms 116th chapter. Scripture says in 1 Corinthians that no flesh should glory in his presence. Folks, I'm not interested in a fleshly type of worship. I'm not interested in something that exalts man. I'm not interested in something that casts the attention on the skills and the abilities and the talents, the persona of somebody. But I'm interested in that which exalts and glorifies, to my understanding, to my heart, Jesus Christ. I'm interested in, whenever I'm done, that I don't leave in awe of the talent of the musician that was there, in awe of how eloquently the speaker spoke, but I leave in awe of God. That I leave with a deeper reverence and respect for who God is. Psalms 116, the 12th verse. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? To render is to turn back and to repay. Remember whenever Jesus healed 10 lepers? And one of them, as they went on their way to show themselves to the priest, they were healed. And one of the 10 turned back and glorified God. And he said, where are the other 9? Were there not 10 that were healed? And only one turned back to glorify God. I want us to be challenged this morning to think about, what do I pay back to the Lord? What do I give back to the Lord? The things that I say. It's praising the Lord is not just about walking around with our hands in the air in a certain posture and saying, praise God, praise God, praise God. But it is about my heart is such that at every opportunity I have, I want to glorify Him. I want to point someone to Him. It may even be subtle. It may just be a quiet, thank the Lord. It may be those things. It doesn't have to be ostentatious. It doesn't have to be something demonstrative and showy. But I want my life to be that which reflects glory and honor and praise to God. Folks, as the song we sang said, He is worthy. Lord, You're worthy to be praised. And I praise You. People sing the praises of movie stars, of athletes especially, and they don't go around saying, praise so-and-so, praise so-and-so in the name. But they talk about, did you see what he did? Did you see that play? Did you see the rankings? Did you see who he was traded for? Did you see? And it is the first thing off of people's tongues. Remember going into a place of business early one morning, and the man was sitting behind the desk, looked like he was still asleep and had a late night, and he was drooping. He saw me come in, and I don't know what it was about the way I looked. I thought, I guess, young guy, he must be interested in the same kind of thing. But suddenly his face came alive when a recollection came back to his mind. And he sat up and said, man, did you see that game last night? Was there a game last night? Did you see? And he started going through the motions and showing what was done. And for a game? Folks, I want the name of Jesus Christ to be what wakes me up. What brings me to life. I want that to be what's the first thing or the most natural thing. It's not to go around in such a pious way that the only thing I'm going to talk about is the Lord. But I want it to be the most natural thing that rolls off of my tongue. I want it to be the thing that if I can, I'm going to talk about the Lord here. If I have an opportunity, I'm going to try to kind of bring the conversation around to things of the Lord. It's what I want to talk about. I'm going to tell you, they're not ashamed of what they want to talk about. He didn't stop and say, sir, are you interested in football? He just assumed. He was passionate enough about it that that's what he wanted to do. Lord, help us to render unto the Lord what's due to His name. Look at the honor that's given to somebody that can throw a ball down a field. And say, how much more worthy is our God? What do I repay to Him? What kind of devotion, what kind of praise do I give to the Lord? What kind of worship? Is my worship such when I come into the house of the Lord? Well, we just sing along and I sing the songs that we've always sung, and I don't put much into it and I don't give it much thought and get to the end of it and really don't even know the words that I just sang. Or do I come into it, Lord, I put my heart into this. Lord, I want to worship You from my whole being and soul and mind. Lord, You are worthy to be honored. And I want the Lord to be honored in this place. Lord, I'll honor You. Lord, You're worthy to believe in. And I believe in You. You know why the Lord's worthy to believe in? Because, in part, because of His track record. Has He ever failed? People who go put their trust in a parachute that might have a 99.9% reliability, but there is that 0.01%. There is not with the Lord. Never once has His promise failed. Never once has He failed. Folks, He is worthy of our belief. He is worthy of our trust. What shall I render to the Lord? Do I render more respect unto the doctors? Or do I render that kind of respect and honor, belief, and trust in the God who made me? We can trust Him because He is trustworthy. He's proven Himself to be worthy of our trust. Lord, You are worthy to be loved. Why? Because He first loved me. Whenever I think about Him hanging on that tree, it ought to cause me, the song says, what heart could e'er withhold a love that costs so dearly, the offering of Thy soul. Lord, You're worthy of my love. You're worthy of my life because the Lord gave His life for me. He didn't hold back. He didn't just give a part or a portion, but He went all the way until He could say, it is finished. What do I give? Well, I look in Malachi and He was chiding the people there. So you take that which is lame, that which is crippled, that which is sick, and you offer that to me? Try offering that to your governor. Is he going to be pleased with it? No. You'd give the best unto him. So what are you giving unto me? And the question is for us and how I live my life. Do I give to the Lord just the leftovers, the remnants, the crumbs out of my life? Or do I give him the very best of who I am? I'm not worthy. Lord, I'm not worthy to even be a servant. But I'll serve you. Lord, I'm not worthy of the blessings that you bestow on me. I'm not worthy of your blood. But Lord, I'll serve you. Oh, the song says the debt that I owe could never be paid. But I want you to know, Lord, I'm glad that I'm saved. And I could say it every day now through the end of my life and never say it enough. Never over testify to what God has done. I could never exaggerate or overplay how great and how mighty a God that He is. Worthy is the Lamb. Oh, folks, that scene around the throne, I hope it resonates within our hearts. I believe that when we get to heaven, we'll see as we are seen, we'll know as we are known. I believe that we'll no longer be seeing through a glass darkly. And I believe to the extent that the Lord allows us to look back over our lives, we'll see in a way that we never realized here how God's mercy held us. Lord, I look back and, oh God, recognize I almost went astray there. Recognize how close I was. And Lord, your mercy. Lord, it was your grace. And I believe it's not going to be something that we're held into a bondage of having to just stand around the throne. We've got to go praise the Lord again. But I believe there will be something welling up from within us eternally. God, I am here only because of the blood of Jesus Christ. I am here only because of your grace and because of your mercy. And Lord, I look back and I see my foolishness and I see, Lord, your great mercy held me. Worthy is the Lamb to be praised throughout all eternity, and He is worthy today. What are we giving unto Him? You pray for me. Amen.